Welcome back. This is Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR Radio 99.9 on the FM dial in Placitas, New Mexico. And we are continuing our conversation with Sandy Escarcida with the Sandoval County Volunteer Program. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about SCP. That is not some communicable disease. That is the Senior Companion Program. It's amazing how this is an acronym world, and I've worked in government contracts for a long time, and it's, you need like a dictionary. Just say what it is. It's not that complicated.
That's right. All right.
But this is the Senior Companion Program. I was just venting there for a moment. So welcome back, Sandy.
Thank you.
And once again, I will ask, just put it on the table, but what is the Senior Companion Program?
Okay. The Senior Companion Program is for seniors age 55 and older who have a love of seniors this time. Foster grandparents was love of children. Senior Companion Program is working with the frail and homebound seniors in the community. So let's say that you know someone who is homebound, lives alone, might be a little depressed, a little lonely, isn't able to get out to the Merc to pick up some groceries, and just needs a little support and companionship. We have volunteers who serve that role. They're called our senior companions. Like I said, they have to be 55 and older. We prefer that they be low income so that they can receive a stipend, mileage reimbursal, and meal reimbursal. And what they do is they go to a senior's home. We identify seniors in Sandoval County who need a senior companion. We introduce them. We see if it's a good fit. We look for commonalities, common interests, and then they set up their own schedule of how often they would like to visit with the clients. It could be twice a week for 3 to 4 hours each time. And for example, we just had a senior companion get paired with a client who enjoys tea parties. And what this client would like is someone to help her make tea, maybe make cookies, have a little tea party, and enjoy herself, visit with her friends and her senior companion. Just reignite that energy they used to have, and that they're not able to do now because they live alone.
It's interesting that you mention tea parties, because I happen to like going to a, I guess what we'd call a high tea, if we're ever on vacation or on a cruise or something, they offer it. We always do it. I don't think most people really understand what's involved. It's an art. It's so graceful. It's almost like theater in a way. And to be able to have one for someone, would I think that would be delightful.
Oh, yes, yes. And that's just one example. We have other senior companions who go with their clients shopping, maybe to pick up their prescriptions, maybe for a ride around the community, just something to get them out of the home. We also encourage our senior companions to take their clients to the senior center so that they can socialize with other seniors, partake of a nutritious meal, just help them to continue to enjoy life.
I have looked at the Placitas Community Center activity list.
Yes.
As well as their monthly luncheon list. Mm-hmm. Well, the luncheons look pretty darn good.
They are. Mm-hmm. They're very tasty. It's a good communal environment. Because I'm from Placitas, I go up there every now and then, both for work and to have lunch. And it doesn't matter what table you sit at. The conversation is engaging. It can range from politics to the weather to their dogs to a million different conversations. It's a good place to be.
Oh, yeah. It's an amazing resource for a town of 8,000.
Yes.
Or even a town of 50,000, it's still a good resource.
That's right.
Now, Sandy, you had mentioned, and I'm speaking with Sandy Escarcida of the Sandoval County Senior Volunteer Program on KUPR 99.9 in Placitas, New Mexico. For the Senior Companion Program, one of the points that you were looking for were people who were living alone.
Yes.
What if it's a couple and only one is in need or both in need? Do they not qualify?
They do. And we look at each case individually. For example, recently we have a couple that needs support. They need respite for the wife. The husband is the one with a lot of chronic illnesses, and the wife needs a little time during the week to run to the grocery store herself, maybe to just go down to the beauty shop and get her hair done, a little time for herself, but doesn't want to leave her husband home alone. That's where a senior companion would go and spend time with the husband. They might play cards, they might watch TV, they might talk politics. Whatever it is, it gives the wife a chance to have some time for herself.
Now, is there any special medical or social services training that the companion needs? Because if we're dealing with older people, there might be borderline Alzheimer's or some special medical needs.
We're not a medical model. So by that I mean our senior companions will not be doing any personal care and will not be attending to any of the medical components of their client. Granted, we do provide extensive training for them on geriatric issues, geriatric happenings, some of the illnesses they may see. We work extensively also in training them to be very alert and observant. So that, for example, if they notice that their client is quieter this week, maybe comments that she hasn't been eating a whole lot, is a little more depressed, those are red flags for them to bring back to our office so that we can investigate further, see if we need to identify other resources for the client. So their observation and their camaraderie and their caring are key components.
So they're kind of, as an ancillary service, they're actually providing more than just companionship.
Yes.
They're going to see what's going on a regular basis and could be instrumental in keeping them healthy and alert longer.
Most definitely. And one of the primary goals of the Senior Companion Program is to keep our clients at home, because that's where the majority want to be. And in order to do that, it's important that our senior companions have a wealth of information regarding the resources in the community, so that if they see that the senior companion is having trouble with their prescriptions, I don't have all the knowledge myself, but they will know who to refer them to. If they have found that they don't know where's the best place to get fresh produce, where are the food banks, they'll refer them that way, so that they have a lot of knowledge in a number of resources.
Right. This is kind of a minor point, but we had switched pharmacies, and I forgot to tell the pharmacist that I want the easy off caps, not the child safety caps, because they're not so easy to get off.
They're not.
Now, to become a candidate as the senior that's going to get a companion, how do you identify them?
We get a lot of referrals from the Frail and Elderly Program. That's another component of the Sandoval County Senior Program. Plus, our phone is ringing throughout the day where people have heard of our program. I get a lot of calls from adult children saying, my mom is 85, I live in New Jersey, I was out visiting her, and I've noticed she is becoming more isolated. Do you have a program that can help engage her in the community? So we get a lot of self-referrals.
And I've noticed in other programs in other parts of the country where I've lived, it's, and I'm sure the same applies here, it's often the neighbors who can make that call because they see these people every day. They might see them. They didn't used to struggle with the trash can, and now they're asking me to help them with it.
Yeah.
And people shouldn't be feel like they're invading their privacy by perhaps bringing it to your program's attention.
Yes. And if I get a phone call from a neighbor inquiring about Mr. Jones down the street, one of the first questions I ask is, does Mr. Jones know that you're calling me? because we don't want to be a surprise for the potential client.
Right.
If they say, no, I was just concerned about him, we do ask that they talk with him so that it's almost like getting permission that it's okay to refer him to our program.
Yes, because we become, I think, more private as we get older, and
yes.
we don't want people to think that we're not capable of taking care of ourselves.
True, true.
So, one thing we haven't spoken about so far, Sandy, in these three segments is how large is the organization that you work with?
The three programs have different memberships, so to speak. The RSVP program, Retired Senior Volunteer Program, has over 200 members in it who are registered volunteers. The Senior Companion Program has 11, and the Foster Grandparent Program has 10 volunteers. So Foster Grandparents and Senior Companions are small. The RSVP program is quite larger.
And from a county perspective, how many county employees are there to support this?
That varies. In the volunteer program, there are just two of us. Doris Wood is our program assistant, and I'm the coordinator. I mentioned earlier the Frail and Elderly program. That is a program that serves, as it says, frail and elderly people with homemaker services as well as respite services. They have a coordinator, three case managers, and approximately 10 homemakers. I don't have the exact number there. There are also employees at the various senior centers throughout the county. We have a senior and community center here in Placitas, a senior center in Bernalillo, Corrales, a meal program within the Meadowlark Senior Center in Rio Rancho, a senior and community center in Jemez, and one in Cuba.
I can't believe that just a couple of people manage all that.
Actually, it's not just a couple of people. Each of the centers has a good number of employees who
right.
help run each site. Our executive director is Denise Montoya. She oversees the entire senior program, as well as an administrative assistant, Jennifer Stivers, and our financial person, Elaine Jaramillo.
Are there a couple of things that you would like to see, not necessarily changed, but have the program expand into?
I think it's important that the foster grandparent program expand into more of the smaller communities. For example, I mentioned earlier that we just recently the principal at Placitas Elementary agreed to have a foster grandparent program here. I also met with the principal up at the Cuba Elementary School. So I want to build in the smaller communities, because too often we focus on the larger ones. Rio Rancho is an ideal example. We have good participation in Rio Rancho, but the smaller communities need it as well.
Yeah, it only makes sense. The size of the community doesn't dictate how many people are in need in each.
Right.
Well, have we covered this one?
I think we have.
All right. I'm going to give the website one more time. It's SandovalCountyNM.gov under Community Services. And if you would like to call directly in area code 505, the number is 404-5822 or 5818. And of course, if you forget all of that, you can always call, go to the KUPR website and make an inquiry, and we will pass it along to the correct people. So again, I would like to thank Sandy for being on Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9 Placitas, New Mexico. And we look forward to the next session of Conversations with Matthew Bronson. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.